with all my heart, Jesus. I thank you for straightening my course and visiting me with your love. Lord, what is on your heart today? My dearest, you have been through some very turbulent waters this past week, and now I am calling for you to cling to me with an ever-tightening grip. You have many enemies, but nothing that cannot be handled, especially if you're faithful with your prayers and worship. It costs me dearly to see you drowning in the waters of confusion, unable to grab onto anything that makes any sense at all. This is a very great suffering, Claire, one that I reserve for my most dedicated. It is like driving in a blind fog as your mind drifts to and fro, looking for some sense of security. Even in worship and the Word, you have found yourself bereft of consolation. Thank you for bearing up under this trial, my love, and thank you for availing yourself of travailing prayer. My people, many of you, Claire included, do not go deep enough or passionately enough into your prayers. Sometimes I wait and gauge my response. When the usual prayers don't work, this is no time to give up. Another person's life may depend upon it. No, that is time to press in with passion and beg me for the gift of travailing prayer. Laziness and preoccupation with things not anywhere near as important are often the cause. My people, you must break through. And as an aside, my dear ones, I just have been in the doldrums and the blahs all of last week, unable to do anything with conviction or passion or purpose. No, I felt like a wet dish rag left on the counter overnight, all sour and yucky. And disgusted? Oh my, I've been so disgusted with my lukewarmness and listlessness. Finally, over one thing, I was graced with travailing prayer, and I asked for a healing, and the Lord granted it. I was ever so grateful. But on a scale of 10 to 100, I think I'd get a 15 grade for prayer and service this past week. I do think one of my medications is building up to a level that is too high and is causing this drowsiness, and so I will go off of that for a day and reduce it in half. Maybe that'll solve the problem right now. You know, those little yellow pills that truckers take, those good old caffeine pills? Well, I'm taking half one every time I start to drift, and it's keeping me alert, but I'm not all tense and pushy like I would normally be on caffeine. I'm just feeling normal. So obviously something's out of whack. In the past, it would have made me a nervous wreck, but now it's just keeping me on an even keel. So please forgive me for being absent all last week. That was the last thing I wanted. Jesus continued, "But now, Claire, you are in a better place, and I want you to just plow away at the untilled soil, break up your fallow ground, and plant seeds of salvation for me, dearest. There is also much turmoil in the air, my people, because the infrastructure of your country is coming under massive reordering. Corruption is being flushed out and replaced by those who have a sincere heart for serving this country. This is also a very dark time of the year, a time when Satan puts out his best efforts to subvert all that is good. I thank you deeply for supporting Judge Kavanaugh. I thank you for your prayers and resistance to those who would subvert all that is good. This was a key battle that you, my people, have won. Now you must continue to lift him and his family up in prayer for protection. There is far more saber rattling going on because the clay feet are finding that the way is blocked for them to pull off some anticipated movements that would disturb the nation. This, too, is the result of your sincere prayers to hold back the violence. And as for those of you who have taken my mother into your hearts, all I can say is that you have done me a great honor in going against the lies and calumny of others who will someday deeply regret their pride in rejecting her. There's a certain predilection on holy souls that shines forth those who accept her with childlike faith. In heaven, it will be seen plainly that she has been influential in your lives, that you have turned to her for prayers and followed her example of meekness and devotion. Remember, I did not have to come to earth as a mere infant. I had no need of human intervention to come to you. I stooped to enter the doorway of the Virgin's womb. Should you not stoop also to honor and enlist her prayers? There is great humility reflected in your choice. Proud souls tend to reject her. It is the very little that soon feel the sweetness of her motherly care and cultivate this holy devotion to the woman my father entrusted with his son. Be of good courage, my beautiful brides. You have all passed through some very turbulent waters. Some have been sucked down into the very depths of an angry ocean and a whirl of opposition, with nothing to grasp onto but the memory of my faithfulness. Trust that this has been most painful for me as well as for you. But now I encourage you to continue to mount upwards into my arms, where you will find your peace and security. I will not let you down. Cleave to me with all your hearts and continue to show yourselves faithful in prayers and sacrifice. Now we will talk about the painful separation my mother endured for 3 days. Yes, this separation was a sign to her that someday she will again have to release me to the providence of my Father in heaven, and a reminder that after 3 days she will indeed see me once again. It is not mentioned in the Gospels that I met with her first, before all others, after my resurrection. She did not tell it because she didn't want any focus to come upon her as an exceptional soul deserving this privilege. Rather, she left that for the other women who she loved dearly. So many things, my people, happened in her life that were never told because she thought it best to keep them hidden in her heart. She waited in silence for my resurrection, knowing it would come soon. But hardly did that comfort the agony she suffered, beholding my crucifixion. One of the things that sustained her in this deepest and darkest trial of her life was the preview given her when I was lost in the temple. Did you not know that I would be in my Father's house? Yes, this lesson gave her hope beyond human understanding that soon she would see me again, and yet she had no idea what I would look like. Would my hands and feet be scarred? Would I be wearing the grave clothes? Would my body look normal, or would it be swollen and misshaped from all torn skin? Oh, all these things made her shudder to consider. And finally, in her austere wisdom, she laid them to rest and just trusted like a little child that all would be well. Before she saw me, she felt my presence in the room and looked up as her heart stopped and her whole being was flushed with wonderment. The resurrected energy emanating from my person swept through her heart and body and repaired the trauma she had suffered at the foot of the cross. Then came the wave of joy and unspeakable laughter. So much laughter. Oh, what a holy moment. All that was written had been accomplished, and now she beheld the Son of God shining on her being, and every tender moment she ever experienced with me rushed with a flood back into her being, covering those tormenting memories of my suffering. What unspeakable joy, a moment unlike all others, never repeated in this world before or ever again. Claire, she knew what my mission was, and she was completely in agreement to meet all of my needs in carrying it out, including the cruel sufferings which nearly cost her own life. So intense was the pain of her heart. And then after he mentioned him being lost in the temple, I decided to go back and read that section of the gospel in Luke 2:40-52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it. They supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and then began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And that's the end of that narrative. Jesus continued, "Claire, I knew they would be concerned for me, but this was a lesson that she had to learn now, so that in that hour of her greatest torment, she could reflect on my faithfulness. It was right and fitting that I should be in the temple, absorbed in my father's business. And so priceless were those moments of sharing in the law that I could scarcely keep track of the time. Nor could I pull myself away to go looking for my parents. After all, they knew where my heart was, and it should never have entered their minds that I might be elsewhere. Nonetheless, it was not right for me to leave them without any notice, and it did weigh on my heart that she would be distraught. Yet I had a higher duty and calling to my heavenly Father, and knew that it must be this way. When I spoke the words in Matthew 10, 'He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me,' the incident in the temple was very much on my mind. So many things that have been written in Scripture have layers and layers of meanings, and only with the help of the Holy Spirit will you discover them. In the end, I did defer to my parents as a good son should, and we returned home. But I must tell you, my heart ached to share the law and precepts of God with men. Going home was the last thing I wanted to do. For me, it was a great act of submission to the will of God to obey my parents. But for me, it left an indelible imprint on my heart, and I longed with all that was within me for the day when I could return. It touched my mother and Joseph's hearts as well. They pondered the connection I had with the teachers of the law and realized there was a mystery and foreshadowing of things to come that had played out before their very eyes.